Carol was a beautiful young woman who turned to the world of OnlyFans to make a living. Davide was one of her most loyal and wealthy followers. The two soon met and began a relationship of sorts in secret. When Carol decided to attempt to reconcile with her ex-husband, she suddenly disappeared, ending her days as an OnlyFans creator and cutting off all contact with her family. What happened to Carol Maltese to make her behave in such an odd way?
Killing, missing, hidden. The podcast about bad things.
Welcome, welcome, welcome into another episode of Killing, Missing, Hidden podcast, your favorite podcast about bad things. And I, your old buddy Brad, former criminal defense trial attorney of some renown. I'm happy everyone's able to join us today. Now, I'm going to do some apologies up front, which is always a strong way to open up an episode. First of all, this episode may be a touch shorter than usual because this week has been tremendously busy. Second, I am recording this late at night while trying to get over a cold that I cannot shake and that I swear will be with me until the end of my days. And third, I apologize because for some reason I chose to do an episode about a murder in Italy, so I've got all these names to pronounce that I'm just going to butcher. Now, I know that sounds like a lot, and I don't mean to lay something heavy on you, but I feel like the word hero is used a lot in today's world, but it may just apply to me this week, you know? Honestly, the main reason I was able to push through and get this one done is thanks to the inspirational lift I received from our newest KMH Plus subscribers, starting with Maureen. This is a woman who is so cool that she would fit in perfectly with Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, and Sam Elliott walking down the streets in the greatest Western ever, Tombstone. That is one cold movie, and Maureen would just fit in perfectly well in this classic tale of revenge. And now she's on our team. So watch out, world. But if that's not news enough for you, we are also proud to announce that Sydney has joined the KMH Plus team. So she's kind of serving as the cross to Maureen's jab, which is making our squad pretty formidable. You send Sydney out into the wild with a small team, and you know two things are going to happen, right? The team's going to survive, and word of the podcast will be spread. Sometimes at the tip of the knife, but I don't ask questions. So I'm excited because this week we've essentially got our B.A. Baracus and our Colonel Hannibal Smith from the A-team to join the KMH Plus team. And that's just in 1 week. I gotta say, I love it when a plan comes together. We are here to talk about Carol Maltese. According to Google Translate, that's how you pronounce it. A.K.A. Charlotte Angie. Now, she was an extremely good-looking Dutch-Italian woman living in Milan, Italy. She loved traveling. That was her passion. And before the pandemic hit, she had hit 26 countries total. Her life was pretty awesome. She had an adorable, sweet son who she just loved to pieces, a loving partner, and a supportive family and a great group of friends. She worked as a sales associate, and, you know, she was able to make ends meet between her and her husband's income. But again, this was all before the pandemic hit, and sadly, this global turn of events kind of turned Carol's life upside down. The whole stress of the situation caused her and her relationship with her husband to break down, and her son actually chose to live with his father instead of with her. And on top of all that, she lost her job. So now she's trying to find new meaning in life. And one day she says, you know, people keep telling me I'm pretty, that I'm beautiful and all that. Well, let's see if I can't cash in on that. So she makes an OnlyFans account. And like, she is an overnight sensational hit. She was making more money than she could have imagined. She had men across the globe just worshiping her. And she said, you know what? This ain't a bad gig. I like this. Now, she didn't advertise this to her friends or family. She didn't have that level of gusto. But, you know, if one of them found out, she never really acted ashamed. She was like, yeah, I do it. Her attitude was, you know, whatever I need to do to make ends meet, whatever I do in the privacy of my house, no one should judge me for. Which is a pretty positive attitude. One of her devout followers was an Italian man named Davide Fontana. Davide, and again, that's coming from Google Translate, so if I'm mispronouncing it, I ain't taking the blame. I tried in this episode, people. He was a well-to-do banker. He prided himself really on how he looked. He really liked, you know, having nicely tailored designer suits, always getting his hair done, you know, the type of guy. He also took great pride in being able to appreciate life's finer things. Most folks would kind of describe him as flashy, charismatic, handsome, fancy, you know, just that sort of guy, that sort of dude. In his free time, he thought it would be fun to become a food blogger, and so he did. And the reason he did this is he would spend so much time at fancy restaurants, he turned that into a thing. I don't understand food bloggers. I don't understand foodies. I'm not one of those people. I have the sophistication of a third grader when it comes to my meals. So, but, you know, God bless the people that like to do it. He described himself on his food blog as, and I'm quoting here, an atypical ram, calm and rational, but stubborn and determined to achieve his set goals. How can you not love that? He also claimed to enjoy photography and said that he shot pictures with passion as banality bored him. To the world, Davide seemed like the just paradigm of an Italian gentleman. To me, he seems a little over the top. Like, he's probably insufferable at parties. But what most people didn't know, that I'm going to let you in on, because I got the inside scoop, is Davide was more than just a fan of Carol's work on OnlyFans. See, he set out to meet her. Because remember, he's an atypical ram who always achieves his goals. He set out to meet her, and he did. And the two struck up a relationship of sorts. If you listen to Davide talk about it, it's a little more passionate and romantic. If you listen to Carol talk about it, they were friends. So there is a little unclear where their relationship actually fell. But I kind of get the impression that he was chasing after Carol and she liked being chased. That they got to be so close that Davide kind of became Carol's assistant whenever she would shoot these OnlyFans videos. Because, you know, one of the things you can do if you're subscribed to a creator, you can pay extra money to have special videos created just for you. And she kind of fell into a bondage niche somehow. So Davide would be the man in the videos tying her up and doing those sorts of things. And, you know, like I said, she fell into this niche. She did pretty well in this niche. And lots of her followers thoroughly enjoyed her bondage content. And of course, Davide was always happy to keep assisting her. He personally enjoyed it when he got to play an aggressive role with her. You know, there were times where videos were requested, you know, of Carol being, you know, kidnapped. And so, you know, he would play that role of the bad guy and duct tape her with her hands and mouth closed and, you know, hold her hostage with a knife. And, you know, everybody's got their kinks. And this was just, people are willing to pay for it. Carol was able, willing to take their money for it, you know? Now, there's a secret here that not many people knew about at the time. And that was Davide was a follower of Carol's, of course, but he also had created a second fake account. And through this fake account, he requested and paid Carol to do lots of the bondage things that he likes. We kind of learn after the fact in the story that Davide, being this dashing Italian gentleman, is actually pretty insecure and I think would fall in the range of complete control freak. Some have even called him completely narcissistic. I don't, you know, whether he's insecure, whether he's narcissistic, I don't know. He's not well, I will agree with that. But it was these character flaws that eventually kind of drove a wedge between Carol and Davide, and they went their separate ways. So, you know, Davide agreed to delete his OnlyFans account. He stopped following Carol, but he had that fake account, right? And he would keep paying for special videos through that fake account. But this wasn't really done so much for his gratification, so much as it was a means in his mind to control Carol and to kind of keep an eye on her. It wasn't long before this kind of passive form of spying just wasn't getting it done. Davide soon began stalking her, but we don't have any information of him doing anything beyond, you know, sitting in his car, peering through her windows, that sort of things. And you know, when, despite having ended their relationship, they remained friends. And again, this is coming from Davide. So when he says end of the relationship, I assume what that really means is the business relationship. But you know, they stayed friends. That's undisputed. She would still talk to him regular, and she would share her life with him to a certain degree, as you would with a friend. And one day they went to dinner, and she was just all too excited to share some really good news with him. She had found a new man, and she was all about this dude. It was a fellow from the Netherlands, but Davide didn't react like you would expect. He was actually fine with this relationship because he knew that he was a far superior human being to this Dutch boy. And it turned out the relationship would be a flash in the pan. Carol didn't stick around for long, and she was back on the market again. And of course, this pleased Davide because, you know, he was certain in his mind that Carol would fall for him again. But then a curveball happened, something Davide hadn't really prepared for. Her ex-husband reemerged. And this was a real threat to Davide. I mean, Carol spent years with this man. They had a child together. And he had certain advantages that Davide just couldn't compete with. Then things got worse because Carol started talking about moving to be closer to her ex and to her son. I don't know where they moved to. I was never clear on that, but they had left Italy. And so she, you know, wasn't able to see her son as regularly as she wanted to. With their old romance rekindling, she was excited not only about that, but of course, being able to spend more time with her boy. Well, Davide knew, you know, this would end his ability to be with Carol. And he doesn't want that. So he uses his fake OnlyFans account and he requests another bondage video. And in this video, he wants Carol to be bound to a stripper pole with a hood on her head while kind of, I don't know the right way to describe it, I guess play torture, play abuse. Basically her kind of being assaulted with a hammer. Carol accepts the offer and calls Davide and says, "Hey, will you come help me with this video? Because I need a man for it." And he's, of course, more than happy to assist. He arrives at her place on the day of the shoot. They begin recording. They're recording both on Carol's camera and on Davide's cell phone. So Carol gets handcuffed to the stripper pole, the bags placed over her head, and then Davide begins, you know, striking her lightly with this hammer on her legs and her stomach and her arms, and she's reacting like it's painful and all that. And then just out of nowhere, he raises the hammer and smashes it down on her head. And he does it again and again and again, violently, brutally. And he doesn't stop until she stops moving, until she was totally silent. At this point, Davide pulled out a knife he had on him and slit Carol's throat. When asked about that action later, he said it was intended to be an act of mercy because he didn't want to take the chance that she was still alive after those hammer blows. Then he just sat there. He just sat there in Carol's apartment and stared at her body, her dead body, still covered in the hood, still handcuffed to the stripper pole, for over 30 minutes. Davide claimed to the police when he was questioned about this that he didn't remember the murder and only realized something was wrong when blood began seeping out of the bag. And again, when asked about the knife, he said, well, he thought it was the only way he could help Carol. He didn't want her to be in pain. Now, Davide was not immediately caught. This session was not being live streamed. And again, it was only being recorded on Carol's camera and his phone. So he was able to quickly delete it from Carol's camera. And he kept it on his phone for his own fun, I guess. Now, Davide's not stupid. He knows he can't just leave Carol's body there. It was that would mean it's only a matter of time until she's discovered. So first he attempts to burn the body in the fireplace, but you can't generate enough heat to really effectively burn a body in that manner. So he focuses just on destroying her face and her palms and, you know, the identifying parts of the body. After that, he cut her body into 15 pieces and put each part in some sort of Ziploc type bag. He ordered a freezer from Amazon and had it delivered to Carol's house. I'm not kidding. He then hooked up the freezer and, you know, put all her body parts in there. Then he just kind of left. Now, here's something he did that I thought was pretty clever. To make it appear that Carol was, you know, still kicking, he took her phone and her wallet with him. And so when people would email her, he would respond. He would respond to text messages. He would respond on social media. He would respond on her OnlyFans account and things like that. The only thing he wouldn't do is answer the phone. Eventually, he realized he couldn't really keep this up. So he suddenly announced that Carol was quitting OnlyFans and had decided to move out of the country. Now, the timing of this was very suspect to Carol and her friends because there was an adult entertainment expo coming up that Carol had been invited to be in, and she was over the moon at being invited to this event. So for her to completely no-show really shocked her friends and family, as well as the promoters of the expo, because they just said every time they talked to Carol, she was all about, you know, thank you so much for letting me be in this. I'm so excited. Thank you. Y'all are the best. That sort of attitude. Now, with Carol's wallet, David used her credit cards to keep things running as if Carol were still alive. And what I mean by that is her rent got paid every month. Her car payment came in every month. He would randomly order things from Amazon, you know, like shoes in her size and dresses in her size. You know, he could see her order history in Amazon. So he was able to copy that pretty well. And so he did a really solid job of keeping up appearances that Carol was still alive. Now, once Carol had quit OnlyFans and no-showed at this expo, her family was kind of to the breaking point because they're like, not only is all this activity weird, Carol was the sort that would call us, you know, at least once a week. And now we've gone on for several weeks, I think close to 2 months, without hearing a word from Carol. So they call the police. The police go around, interview her friends, her contacts. So naturally they show at Davide's home, asking him if he had seen Carol over the past few weeks. He denied it and all that, but this really spooked him because he thought, well, the next thing they're going to do is search Carol's house. They're going to see that freezer and they're going to find her body in it. And I can't let that happen. So he goes to Carol's home. He takes the 15 bags and drives to Borno, which is about 130 kilometers northeast of Milan, still in Italy. And despite all this planning and all this forethought, the way he disposes of these 15 bags is to just chunk them off a cliff. No effort to bury them, no effort to hide them, just we're going to throw it down the hill and let God decide where these pieces of a human body are going to lay to rest. And as you might expect, these randomly tossed bags are found only days later by a hiker. Now, when police recovered the bag, they noticed they were in the process, you know, the body parts were in the process of decomposing, but they were also in the process of de-thawing. Now, they didn't want to open up the bags immediately. They wanted the forensic folks to do that, but as they were scouring the hillside looking for more of them, they noticed one bag had burned hands in it, but the fingernails were still in good shape, and they could tell that they were very manicured, long women's nails with glitter nail polish on them. When the police attempted to ID the remains, they ran into some difficulties because of that burn damage that Davide had caused. However, one thing he did not think of, Carol had 11 different tattoos, and most of them were in good enough shape that they were used to help identify the body as actually being Carol's. Her family and friends were able to say, yes, those are her tattoos. However, Davide didn't give up. He still had Carol's cell phone. He still had her credit cards. And he continued to answer questions from family and friends and even fans. He, you know, the story he gave them was, well, that's just a coincidence. Obviously, I'm still alive. I haven't been in Italy for a while. So that's got to be someone else. It's weird that they have the same tattoos as me. Of course, the cops are smarter than a third grader, and they weren't buying it. They thoroughly examined the remains and the bag, and they found DNA from two different people. Carol, of course, and Davide. When confronted with the scientific evidence, Davide just kind of said, okay, you got me. I murdered Carol. I mutilated her corpse. I discarded her remains. But listen, this was all an accident. He goes back to that story of he doesn't remember how the murder occurred. You know, he just looked down and she was bleeding. And he slashed her throat with a knife to put an end to whatever suffering she had. Mental health professionals were called in to examine Davide, and they made a series of findings. First, they noted that he had an unusually unhealthy obsession with Carol. He had transformed his life to be with her. We didn't talk about this, but he had divorced his wife. He had left his family. He wanted to be single so he could be with Carol without anything getting in the way. He created all these fake accounts, like we talked about. He secretly recorded her, both from the OnlyFans site, and apparently he would leave a spare cell phone in her house and try to record her that way. He was unusually immature and frustrated when Carol insisted they remain platonic friends. These mental health professionals also kind of reached the opinion that there were really, in essence, three Davides, okay? There was the before Davide. Then there was the one that was with Carol. And then there was the one that was away from Carol. Once he had become obsessed with Carol, the before Davide effectively just died. He no longer existed. It was either the Davide that was with Carol or not with Carol. Those were the only two identities he had in his mind. They really described it as this was like a 12-year-old with a crush who was totally obsessed and whose thoughts never wavered from Carol. The idea of losing Carol's attention in to any degree was unbearable for him. They thought it actually caused him physical pain. They also offered the opinion that if Carol had not been wearing the hood during this bondage role play thing, Davide probably wouldn't have been able to harm her. While Davide was known on Instagram as this food blogger, police soon learned that he had a second secret account under a fake name that was dedicated to keeping photos with and flirting with a variety of young, attractive women. Most of that stopped once he met Carol, but he had a history of, I'm going to say, semi-stalking girls he found attractive. His neighbors told police that Davide, you know, historically just had like this rotating door of beautiful women coming and going, even while he was married. Now, as we've kind of learned through this episode, there's been a lot of inconsistency in the description of his relationship with Carol. And Davide would feed this to some degree. At times, when talking to the police, they were just friends. At other times, again, while talking to the police, they were having a passionate love affair. He couldn't keep his story straight. And police, of course, picked up on this. This was just one, apparently, of many inconsistencies in the statements he gave. And to this day, they feel like they've never received a straight story from Davide. He ended up, at the age of 44, being sentenced to 30 years in prison on June 12th, 2023. Apparently, Davide has not been well received by fellow inmates. He has been the subject of many attacks, and it's been so bad that a judge had to issue an order that he be held in a special protected wing of the prison that was traditionally used to house the inmates that are so uncontrollably violent that they pose a risk to the rest of the prison. That's where Davide lives now. So that's kind of the end of the story. You know, just your standard food blogger gets envious of OnlyFans star and murder sort of story. We've all heard it before, right? You know, what stands out most to me is just how calculating Davide was after the murder. Taking the time to store the body in the freezer, sealing your credit cards, ordering products Carol would normally order, answering her text messages, manning her social media accounts. I mean, he did a pretty good job of keeping up appearances that Carol was still alive until the police got interested in things. And it seems like at this point he just got, he got too nervous, too overwhelmed, and kind of lost his rational mind. You think, to me, what would have been more consistent with the way Davide kind of carried this out was instead of just, you know, throwing bags of human remains down a hill, you know, go into the woods, bury them in four or five different places. It would make the discovery of her body that much more difficult. And, you know, I think he would have been smart enough to think of that, but he just couldn't handle the stress. And, you know, let's not forget, too, like, I don't really harp on this during the episode, but Davide just lived his life as normal once he had killed Carol. I mean, he even did a post to his food blog the night she was murdered. He continued to eat, drink, and be merry after taking this poor woman's life. His whole "I don't remember" defense is just stupid. It's annoying. It kind of makes me angry. I mean, you've done all of this. There's no question you've done all of this. You recorded the murder, you giant idiot. And then you're going to say, "I don't remember what happened." And look, this goes counter to what I should say as a criminal defense attorney, right? You should never admit that you're guilty, but it just personally makes me so annoyed in this case they didn't just fess up and say he did it. I mean, the part that seals it for me, okay? He takes the hammer, he beats her down, whatever mental state he's in, he's in. I don't believe for a second that he didn't know what he was doing, but fine. But he has a knife and he uses that to slit her throat. Why did he have the knife if this wasn't premeditated to some degree? Why, you know, the mental health professionals had said, you know, he wouldn't be able to kill her if she was not wearing that hood. Well, he's the one that ordered her to wear the hood. There was OnlyFans request. I mean, there's just no way you can convince me that this dude, you know, had a break for a moment and lost touch with reality. He did this. It was premeditated. He knew what he was doing. And frankly, he's lucky he only got 30 years in jail. And again, I say that not knowing the Italian legal system that well. You know, if he had confessed like I was getting at, yeah, that takes away some of your bargaining power as his attorney. But really, what bargaining power do you have in a situation like this? You know, when you recorded the murder, you're kind of up the creek anyway. Honestly, this is how I would negotiate it. And I've literally done this in real life. I would just go to the prosecutor and say, okay, look, my guy did it. You know it. I know it. Something's not right with him. You know it. I know it. Can we just cut to the chase? And will you offer me a deal that justifies him hiring me? And I cannot tell you how many times that has worked. I don't know why, but I love it because. And I think prosecutors love it too, because there's no BS. There's no me pretending that I've got a defense. I'm just going in there and saying, show me some mercy, please. Let me at least protect my reputation. Will you do that for me? Screw the client. Do it for me. And that's why, and I'm very critical of a lot of attorneys because I don't think they consider this aspect. That's why your reputation is so important when you practice law. If you're a blowhard that goes in there and wants to try every case and you're insulted that they arrested every client of yours, the prosecutors don't like working with you and they're not going to do favors for you. But when you're humble and you admit defeat and you just go in there and say, what am I supposed to do here? They kind of respect that. And look, what's the alternative? You have a trial. And the trial is really just going through the motions because the prosecutor knows what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. Why don't we save ourselves a whole buttload of time and just find a deal that we can both live with? It's a legit negotiating strategy, even though it's probably not something you want to hear from your attorney. It works. It's a legit strategy. And I've been able to help save my clients decades in prison because of it. I would also want to point out, especially for younger members of the audience or those of you that have kids, this really should be a cautionary tale for anybody that's, a cam boy or girl. You've got to be careful who you deal with, and you really need to be careful who you work with. It sounds silly to say, but here Carol's really putting herself in vulnerable positions to fulfill her client's wishes. And she's using an assistant she really doesn't know that well. I mean, again, they have a relationship of some sort, but it sounds awfully superficial. This is, you need. If you're going to pursue this career, and I haven't been in this industry, so I'm really not qualified to talk about it, but you really need a friend of yours from before you decided that you wanted to pursue this line of work. Someone who really has no interest in you sexually. There's the internet is overflowing with stories of people who. Want to try to do a bondage film or want to, have relations in that way only to get robbed or sexually assaulted or worse. And I mean, this even happens in Seinfeld. It's that big a deal that it happens in freaking Seinfeld. George Costanza fell for this trick. So, you just can't be too careful. And I would go as far as say you really need multiple people helping you if you can during a shoot like this, if you want it to go the way that it needs to go. And again, I'm not very familiar with this world. I've never been on the OnlyFans website. That's fine. People have their kinks in this world, as long as it's not ruining my life in some way, more power to you. And you hear about women who make thousands of dollars a month just from showing off their feet, which, is there a market for men? I don't know much about this world. What about men with oddly shaped feet? Like I look like I walk on potatoes. You know, they're like English bulldogs, so ugly that maybe people would find them weirdly attractive. And what makes it worse is I have like unusually muscular legs, so it's like if you take those thick pretzel sticks and then jab them on top of a mini marshmallow, that's what you're gonna get. So if any of y'all that have more experience hear this and say that sounds like an untapped gold mine, please let me know. I have very little dignity. So all right, let's go on to our palate cleanser. This one I love because just the story behind it's adorable. This comes from an older member of our church, and he says when he told us, me and my wife, this joke, he said it's the only joke he's ever told his wife that she laughed at. And so it has nothing to do with our episode, thankfully. But I'm not gonna pass up a free joke. And that's just, I mean, this isn't, a 60-year-old man. This dude's like 80, 85, so he's, and to me, it just makes it that much more adorable. Here's the joke as he told it, all right? Two snakes were making their way through the woods when one of them froze with a look of horror on his face. The other snake stopped and asked his friend, What's wrong? The first snake asked in the sweet voice, Are we venomous? And the second snake, clearly confused, said, I don't know why. The first snake looked his friend dead in the eye and said, Because I just bit my tongue. It was a joy to listen to him tell it. I hope you enjoy it and your 6-year-olds like that joke. All right, so that's a wrap. Thank you to those of you who joined KMH Plus this week. Maureen, Sydney, our BA Baracus, and Hannibal. You're both so delightful and adorable people who somehow still managed to have your hands registered as deadly weapons. What a neat group of people we're putting together as subscribers, huh? If you want to join, if you want to be part of our little A team, it's only $5 a month. And you're guaranteed to get my best effort to get you two bonus episodes a month. Now, there's no actual guarantee that'll happen, but the effort will be there and the love will be there. But if you're not able or willing to pay to listen to me talk, totally get it. You can support us in so many other ways, and we would be deeply appreciative if you would. As an indie podcast, we struggle against, pretty much everybody you see on the Apple Top 100 that are funded by corporations and things like that. But the ways you can help, just listening helps us. Leaving a kind 5-star review, sharing us with people in real life, sharing us with internet strangers on your social medias. Spray painting KMH rules on the side of your local police station. Buying one of those banners that gets pulled behind an airplane. That would help. Recommending us in any sort of true crime podcasting group, like on Facebook or whatnot. Organizing a flash mob to spell out Killing, Missing, Hidden Podcast after a complicated choreographed dance routine. Or, just painting your car so it says, I love Killing, Missing, Hidden all over it. Those are just some ways you can help out. You're really only limited by your creativity and your fear of going to jail. So thank you, as always, for being here. Thanks for listening in. We love it when you come visit. I hope everybody has an awesome week this week, and I hope you decide to drop by next week. Hopefully I'll have as good a palate cleanser for you. And we are going to have a very interesting story. I've already found the topic that I'm going to work on. I'm excited about it. So I will see everybody then. And until then, we just say, right out.
You survived another episode of Killing, Missing, Hidden, the podcast about bad things. Join us next time for another true and thrilling story.